You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moresureword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moresureword.com. That's www.moresureword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. Ezekiel chapter 12 and 13, and all fits together. Ezekiel chapter 12. The word of the Lord also came unto me, saying, Son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious house, which have eyes to see and see not. They have ears to hear and hear not. For they are a rebellious house. Therefore, thou son of man, prepare thee stuff for removing, and remove by day in their sight, and thou shalt remove from thy place to another place in their sight. It may be they will consider, though they be a rebellious house. Then shalt thou bring forth thy stuff by day in their sight, as stuff for removing, and thou shalt go forth at even in their sight, as they that go forth into captivity. Dig through the wall in their sight, and carry out thereby. In their sight thou shalt bear it upon thy shoulders, and carry it forth in the twilight. Thou shalt cover thy face, that thou see not the ground. For I have set thee for a sign unto the house of Israel. And I did so as I was commanded. I brought forth my stuff by day, as stuff for captivity. And in the even I dig through the wall with mine hand. I brought it forth in the twilight, and I bear it upon my shoulder in their sight. And in the morning came the word of the Lord unto me, saying, Son of man, hath not the house of Israel, the rebellious house, said unto thee, What doest thou? Say thou unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, This burden concerneth the prince in Jerusalem, and all the house of Israel that are among them. Say, I am your sign. Like as I have done, so shall it be done unto them. They shall remove and go into captivity. And the prince that is among them shall bear upon his shoulder in the twilight, and shall go forth. They shall dig through the wall to carry out thereby. He shall cover his face, that he see not the ground with his eyes. My net also will I spread upon him, and he shall be taken in my snare. And I will bring him to Babylon, to the land of the Chaldeans, yet shall he not see it, though he shall die there. Very important, because he's talking about the last king to sit upon the throne of David. He's talking about Zedekiah. And this is exactly what Zedekiah would do, and exactly what would happen to Zedekiah. And it's very important you know what God said right here in Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 13. Ezekiel, before it happened, of course, said what God told him was going to happen. He tried to flee in the night to escape through the wall, he and his four sons. He was captured by Nebuchadnezzar. His sons were executed before his face, and the last thing he saw was his four sons being executed. And then Nebuchadnezzar put his eyes out, blinded him, took him to Babylon, and he died there. This is the word of God. This is the truth. And why you need to know and understand this is that there is so much occult literature, ancient occult literature, that says later somehow he managed to escape Babylon and flee to Tarshish. And there is a line of British kings which gives the Antichrist prince an ability to say that he is of the tribe of Judah, of the house and lineage of David, and to make a claim to have a throne right to this throne of David in Jerusalem. But it's not true. Zedekiah died in Babylon. Zedekiah died in captivity, blinded by Nebuchadnezzar, died in captivity in Babylon. It's interesting, the Antichrist prince not only claims to be able to trace his lineage all the way back to the tribe of Judah, but there's also a Muslim family tree, the family tree of Muhammad, and he can trace his roots back to be a descendant of Muhammad as well. But listen to what God said. This is the truth. Regardless of how much ancient literature, Satan worked real hard to set this thing up. And we now see, of course, that the effect of every vision is now at hand. But this is the word of God. My net also will I spread upon him. Okay, this was a snare that God had set for Zedekiah, the last one, other than the Lord Jesus Christ, who could make a legitimate claim to the throne of David. My net also will I spread upon him, and he shall be taken in my snare, and I will bring him to Babylon, to the land of the Chaldeans, yet shall he not see it, though he shall die there. That is the word of God. That is the truth. And all this ancient occult literature and this huge setup that Satan has worked for literally hundreds, even thousands of years. We're going back now to 2,600 years ago that Satan began working on this lie. It is a lie. Because God said he would die there, not in the British Isles, according to the occult legends. And I will scatter toward every wind all that are about him to help him, and all his bands. And I will draw out the sword after them, and they shall know that I am the Lord. When I scatter them among the nations and disperse them in the countries, but I will leave a few men of them from the sword, from the famine, and from the pestilence, that they may declare all their abominations among the heathen whither they come, and they shall know that I am the Lord. I am that I am, he told Moses. The Lord Jesus Christ is the I am, Yeshua HaMashiach. I am the Lord. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, eat thy bread with quaking, and drink thy water with trembling and with carefulness. And say unto the people of the land, Thus saith the Lord God of the inhabitants of Jerusalem and of the land of Israel, They shall eat their bread with carefulness and drink their water with astonishment, that her land may be desolate from all that is therein because of the violence of all them that dwell therein. And the cities that are inhabited shall be laid waste, and the land shall be desolate, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, what is that proverb that you have in the land of Israel, saying, The days are prolonged, and every vision faileth? Tell them, therefore, Thus saith the Lord God, I will make this proverb to cease, and they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel, but say unto them, The days are at hand, and the effect of every vision. For there shall be no more any vain vision nor flattering divination within the house of Israel. For I am the Lord. I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. It shall be no more prolonged. For in your days, O rebellious house, I will say the word and will perform it, saith the Lord God. Again the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, behold, they of the house of Israel say, The vision that he seeth is for many days to come. And he prophesieth of the times that are far off. Therefore say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, There shall none of my words be prolonged any more, but the word which I have spoken shall be done, saith the Lord God. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy. And say thou unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts, Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, Woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. O Israel, thy prophets are like foxes in the desert. They have not gone up into the gaps, neither have made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. They have seen vanity and lying divination, saying, The Lord saith, and the Lord hath not sent them. And they have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. Have ye not seen a vain vision? And have ye not spoken a lying divination? Whereas you say, The Lord saith, albeit I have not spoken? Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, Because you have spoken vanity and seen lies, therefore, behold, I am against you, saith the Lord, and mine hand shall be upon the prophets that see vanity and that divine lies. They shall not be in the assembly of my people, neither shall they be written in the writing of the house of Israel, neither shall they enter into the land of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord God. Hallelujah. It is now time. The Antichrist war on the saints. and to look at this history from World War II to the absolute certainty now of the great war that the Lord Jesus Christ talked about. It goes by a number of different names. The Third World War, the Great Tribulation War, the Gog-Magog War, the first one that brackets the thousand-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Battle of Armageddon. It is a certainty. It is irreversibly set up. Wars, famines, pestilences, and earthquakes. How could anyone possibly not see that 100% are left behind for the Great Tribulation Antichrist War on the Saints? What happened to Japan's nuclear power plants adds pestilence to the earthquake. The disaster in Japan looks like it will also have the worst nuclear power plant catastrophe in history. Pray that God would be glorified to protect his people. I want to go through now to review the setup from World War II to the certainty of Armageddon. FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt's New Deal, brought about a colossal expansion in federal power, spending, regulation, control over virtually every facet of life. However, the illegal president, the Hussein Obama crown of the Bush-Clinton-Bush syndicate of sudden destruction, makes them all pale by comparison. In the first 19 months of Hussein Obama's illegal presidency, he has increased the American public debt more than all of the legal U.S. presidents from George Washington all the way through Ronald Reagan in 19 months. His illegal presidency must be stopped. Franklin Roosevelt transformed the traditional American republic almost beyond recognition. When war came, FDR took on even much greater authority. He violated numerous neutrality acts that the Congress had passed and which he had signed. At the end of the war, it was Roosevelt and Stalin who would set the course of the world events to produce the Illuminati planned New World Order. And sadly, most socialists in the West thought the Soviet Union offered the hope of a bright socialist tomorrow. They believed the great lie of the socialists or communists, the great lie. The truth is that socialism is the royal road to power for the super rich. That's the truth about socialism. It is the royal road to power for the super rich. And sadly, most socialists and communists have believed the lie that socialism is where everyone is to contribute according to their abilities to a big pie in the sky, which everyone will take from according to their needs. What a whopper lie. In 1945, when Roosevelt came back from the Yalta Conference, the president told members of his cabinet that he found in Stalin's nature the way in which a Christian gentleman should behave. And that's how easy it is for Satan's treacherous dealers to deceive and be deceived. In reality, Stalin was every bit as brutal and had even committed more mass murders than Hitler. Stalin was a master of political intrigue and inhuman brutality. He let nothing stand in his way. Stalin quashed all peasant resistance through forced famines and torture and terror and exile to the vast wastelands of Siberia and Central Asia. And between 9 and 12 million people perished in this process. Many place the toll of Stalin's purges at over 30 million. Stalin's mass purges and show trials sent millions of new victims to their deaths after confessions had been beaten out of them. Millions more were sent to the concentration camps of the Gulag to work and die as expendable slaves for building socialism. In February of 1945, Stalin sat down with FDR at Yalta, along with Churchill, to gain the spoils of victory that he had dreamt about since his deal with the Vatican-empowered Luciferian by the name of Adolf Hitler in 1939 to start World War II. The job was made much easier for Stalin since, as the Soviet archives have now revealed, FDR's government was riddled with socialist agents, Soviet agents, and fellow travelers who passed along all of Roosevelt's plans. In addition, the villa at Yalta, where FDR and the American delegation were staying, was completely bugged by the Jesuit-controlled Soviet secret police. Stalin promised Roosevelt and Churchill free and open elections in Eastern European countries liberated by the Soviet army. And then over the next 3 years, Stalin's secret police assisted the Moscow-controlled communist parties in Poland and Hungary and Romania and Bulgaria and Albania and Czechoslovakia to set up people's democracies through means of suppression of any non-communist voices, usually by threats known to be real by the thousands of non-communists known to be imprisoned and or murdered. The Soviet archives prove that Stalin wanted the war between the United States and Japan. He believed that the chaos of such a conflict would ripen the conditions for communist revolutions in Asia. When the war ended, Stalin started by establishing a communist regime in North Korea. The Soviet archives confirm that Stalin also approved and helped plan North Korea's attack on South Korea in 1950, which dragged the United States into a three-year war at the cost of 50,000 American lives. After the Japanese surrender, Stalin allowed Mao Zedong's communist forces to enter Manchuria. The Soviet army turned over vast quantities of captured Japanese military equipment to the Chinese communists, helping to assure Mao's eventual triumph on the Chinese mainland in 1949. When Roosevelt returned from the Yalta Conference, he was confident that the Yalta Conference had laid the groundwork of a plan for a new world order. That plan was the creation of the United Nations. For the establishment of the UN, Roosevelt gave Stalin anything and everything the communist dictator wanted. The UN, controlled by the United States and the Soviet Union, along with Great Britain, France, and China, was to become the policeman of the world. Roosevelt envisioned America's precipitation in a project of global social engineering, which would set the world right through economic sanctions and military force. Roosevelt never considered the cost in American lives, or that his New Deal for the world's new world order would end in the loss of freedom and liberty of Americans. Roosevelt did not worry about that because he had Stalin, that so-called Christian gentleman, as his imagined partner for managing the world. It has been almost the span of my life since Roosevelt danced with the devil at Yalta. The world continues to suffer from Roosevelt's Yalta dance with the devil. Stalin, who helped Hitler start the Second World War, was given Soviet domination of Eastern Europe. Ask anyone who was forced to live under Stalin's tyranny what they think of the reality they know of the so-called socialist paradise. The people of North Korea also were swept up in the communist net, and those who do not die of starvation still live under it. The triumph of communism in China has hundreds of millions placed under the yoke of Mao's murderous regime. Iran is a Russian military client state. I need to say that again. Iran is a Russian military client state. Do not forget that. Most Muslim countries are Russian military client states. Do not forget that. Iran is the world's leading sponsor of international terrorism. Iran funds Hezbollah, Islamic Jihad, and Hamas, as well as Shiite insurgent groups in Iraq and worldwide. The Iranian regime is currently recruiting and training its citizens for suicide operations against Western targets. Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad and his spiritual leader have called upon Iranian youth to join the Iranian Organization of Martyrs. The Iranian Organization of Martyrs trains men and women to carry out shahada, martyrdom operations against the enemies of Islam. So far, 40,000 young Iranians are waiting to receive instructions to carry out their suicide terrorist operations around the world. The Shiite Iranian-backed terrorist group Hezbollah is known to be Iran's violent proxy weapon against Israel and the West. Iran is outspoken that Israel is soon to be the target for their martyrs, along with the United States and the European Union countries. Iran publicly boasts of having thousands of martyrs in Europe and America who are ready to sacrifice their lives for the triumph of Islam in Great Britain, France, Belgium, Spain, Italy, and the Netherlands. According to Tehran, there are 25,000 members ready to be suicide bombers now in place in those countries. Iran boasts of an extensive terrorist network that uses the facilities of Iranian embassies and economic missions and a number of religious institutions such as the Islamic Communications and Culture Organization to recruit radical Islamists in Muslim countries or among the Muslims living in the West. And these recruits are brought to Iran by way of other allied countries and are sent to the Iranian Organization of Martyrs training camps. Ahmadinejad pledged $50 million per year to the Palestinians' Hamas government. And what is so astonishing is that Europe and the United States continue to still support and arm the other half of the Palestinian terror state, soon to be according to the roadmap from hell. Ahmadinejad has demonstrated his willingness to share nuclear technology with others, saying, "With respect to the needs of Islamic countries, we are ready to transfer nuclear know-how to these countries." Over the last 20 years, Iran's intelligence service, operating out of its embassies around the world, has assassinated dozens of political rivals in Europe and Pakistan and Turkey and the Middle East. Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad is a very intelligent Shiite Muslim, known for his devotion to the hidden Imam or the Mahdi. Ahmadinejad believes that his government must prepare Iran for the Imam's imminent return. Ahmadinejad believes that it is his duty to trigger a period of chaos, war, and bloodshed, which will lead to the coming of the 12th Imam, who will eventually rule the world. Ahmadinejad claims a private personal channel to the Mahdi, who disappeared during the 9th century. He's about 1100 or 1200 years old now, and Ahmadinejad claims to talk with him. As president, he has asked his cabinet members to sign an oath of allegiance to the Mahdi that Shiite Muslims call the Messiah, and for whom they believe Jesus Christ will work as a lieutenant of the Mahdi. In his speech on September 14th of 2005 to the United Nations, Ahmadinejad called for the Mahdi's reemergence. Ahmadinejad often boasts that the Mahdi gave him the presidency for a single task of provoking a clash of civilizations, wherein the Muslim world, led by Iran, takes on the infidel West, led by the United States, and defeats it in a slow but prolonged contest. It's not funny. However, that sounds exactly like the Bush-Clinton-Bush-Obamination war game plan. Ahmadinejad believes Iran has decisive advantages over the great Satan America and the little Satan Israel. He boasts that Islam has four times as many young men of fighting age as the West, with its aging populations, hundreds of millions of Muslims. Holy raiders are willing and excited to become martyrs, while the infidel youths, loving life and fearing death, hate to fight. Islam also has four-fifths of the world's oil reserves and so controls the lifeblood of the infidels, according to Ahmadinejad. Here's a few more Ahmadinejad, very telling quotes. He says, "Today, we should define our economic, cultural, and political policies based on the policy of Imam Mahdi's return." He said, "We must prepare ourselves to rule the world, and the only way to do that is to put forth views on the basis of the expectation of the return of the Mahdi." He said, "Israel is doomed to be wiped from the map in a war of destiny." He said, "Israel is a disgraceful stain on the Islamic world and a rotten dried tree that will be eliminated by one storm." He said, "Israel is a danger, but one that is about to come to an end." He said, "They have created a myth in the name of the Holocaust and consider it above God, religion, and the prophets." March 15th of 2011, the Israel Navy seized a cargo vessel, Victoria, that was headed for the Alexandria port in Egypt. The ship was carrying advanced weaponry, including anti-ship missiles that could alter the balance of power in the region. The instruction manuals for the anti-ship missiles were written in Iranian, the language of Farsi. The weapons originated in Iran and were destined for Hamas and other terrorist groups in the Gaza Strip. Brethren, the plan of the global Antichrist Luciferians has always been the New World Order plan written by the Illuminati Satanists in the late 18th century. The plan calls for three world wars, from which Satan's Antichrist prince, along with his false prophet Pope, would kill all real Christians and Jews. World War III is now set up, and it is impossible to prevent. This is the Great Tribulation War of which Jesus spoke. It is the beginning of sorrows. Yes, only real Christians with real faith have any hope. Pre-trib rapture is la-la land doctrines of men. It is not supported by a single verse of the Holy Bible in full context, rightly divided by the Holy Ghost. Pre-trib la-la land dispensational theology was financed by the Illuminati global Satanists to make it easier for them to kill anyone scripturally ignorant and or vain enough to believe such lies. Brethren, this wave of revolts to overthrow the government in Tunisia, Egypt, Bahrain, Yemen, Algeria, Saudi Arabia, and others is all well orchestrated to lead to World War III. World War III will be blamed on the Jews in Israel. If you're tempted to blame the problems on the Jews in Israel because you believe the lies of the prince of the power of the air, then you've become part of the problem and not part of the solution. The Lord Jesus Christ commands us, take heed. That means pay attention. Take heed that no man deceive you. As we look at the complete setup of the certainty of the big war breaking out in the Middle East, we know the governments of this world have all become antichrist. But we should also look at the non-government organizations, NGOs. In their reports, NGOs like Amnesty International and Human Rights Watch ignore the good Fatah terrorism and how Israel got nothing but thousands of terrorist rockets and a second Lebanon war for evicting the Jewish people of Israel from Gaza. What makes anyone anywhere think that the Gaza disengagement was a good idea? What could make anyone think that expanding that bad, insane appeasement of terrorists idea 10 times bigger in Judea and Samaria would bring anything other than World War III? There is more violence in Gaza than ever. More and bigger weapons are bringing more Israeli civilians under the terror rockets every day. Since the overthrow of Mubarak in Egypt, they do not even have to use the tunnels now to smuggle explosives and weapons, including longer-range, more deadly missiles, into Gaza. This is the insanity of the Vatican's Perez Mafia, which includes Netanyahu. I've been watching the news on the Libyan civil war going on. The world's media have used their spin to promote this so-called drive for democracy in the Middle East. When you have a majority who wants Sharia law under the control of Islamic imams, then their understanding of democracy has no resemblance to what the Western mindset believes to be a democracy. The Islamic vote won the day, and now terrorism around the world will become much worse. The fact that Mubarak was a friend of the United States for decades didn't mean a thing. Mubarak was a cold-blooded monster, but he held the peace together between the Arab world and Israel. He danced to the music that came out of the White House, only to find that all his dancing and order taken brought him face to face with the one promoting Islam around the world. Because he received no support from the U.S. in his fight for survival, he was forced out, and today we're watching Islamic terrorists take over in Egypt. But the American news machine is still claiming that the freedom fighters for democracy in Egypt won, thanks to the support of Obama. But for the Islamic terrorists throughout the Middle East, he wasn't anti-American or anti-Israel enough. You see, the leaders like Mubarak and Gaddafi are standing in the way of the Islamic Caliphate, the Islamic world dominance under Sharia law. And we're watching the same scenario playing out in Syria, Jordan, and now Saudi Arabia. In fact, we're watching Saudi Arabia come to arrest the Islamic uprising in Bahrain because they know it would be best to stop it before it came home to them in Saudi Arabia. As for Turkey, it's hard to understand just what's going on there. They force an Iranian cargo plane to land for inspection in Turkey, and then they let it continue, not disclosing what its cargo was. And then we find that a 600-foot cargo ship, the Victoria, flying the Liberian flag, made a stopover in Mersin, Turkey, then leaving there for its destination in Alexandria, Egypt. Israeli intelligence also knew that this ship picked up cargo in Latakia, Syria, which is also home to the newly built Russian naval base. The same base that two Iranian ships, one a frigate and the other a supply ship, recently sailed to. It was thought then that what had taken place was a large arms delivery to Syria from Iran, but this time escorted by an armed battleship. It's now believed that those same arms were picked up by the Victoria, which was later seized and boarded by the Israeli Navy. She was found to be loaded with mortars and missiles and shells and ammunition, and amongst the cargo were found Chinese anti-ship missiles known as a C-704, very high-tech and a deadly weapon guided by British-manufactured radar to target them against the Israeli Navy. The final destination for this load of weapons was Hamas in Gaza. The two Iranian ships were unable to unload the cargo in Egypt, so they took them to Syria and then made a stopover in Turkey to throw the Israelis off their trail. And from Egypt, the route into Gaza was through the Sinai Desert and then to be brought in through the Gaza Strip. The bottom line is that there is a major escalation in arms smuggling to Hezbollah and Hamas from Iran and Russia. You don't have to be a genius to know what they're planning to do, and soon. And we don't have long to wait to see things happen. Each of us must stop and listen to the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, allowing God to speak to our souls and spirits, for the key word for each of us will be priorities. What are your priorities? And God is and must always be first. This world is about to become completely insane, and the only hope we will have is in God. And the only place we can find peace is in God. And getting back now to this history that guarantees the certainty of the Battle of Armageddon now on the horizon. The media today is designed to sow confusion, fear, doubt, and to destroy the very ability to think logically, critically, or certainly biblically. The mass media is designed to destroy your faith and immobilize you with fear. Yes, sadly, that does include Alex Jones and Jeff Rentz, as well as the Glenns, Rushes, and Katies. The purpose of the mainstream media is to mentally debilitate and manipulate the masses. Read the prophets in the KJV Holy Bible to know what's really happening and will soon be happening. The lying demonization of Israeli policy without including the context of the Israeli actions is simply anti-Christ political exploitation, deception, and strong delusion. One never hears realistic alternatives to respond to the intelligence information regarding shipments of rockets and missiles and explosives and bombs being brought into Gaza from Egypt. They say nothing of the 4,000 rockets sent by Hezbollah out of Lebanon targeting civilians. Should Israel tolerate the shipment of weapons to terrorist groups like Hamas and Islamic Jihad that are used to kill innocent Israeli civilians as well as Israeli soldiers? Why is it so hard for the Antichrist political leaders of this world to understand that the business of both the good Fatah terrorists and the bad Hamas terrorists is terrorism? Who could ever forget the way the so-called Palestinians danced in the streets as the hijacked airliners brought down the World Trade Center towers? The truth is that there was no such thing as a Palestinian people before 1967. Palestinians are Jordanians. Palestine is a region comprising several states, just as the Sahara is a region comprised by several states. Palestinians do not have any distinctive ethnic culture. They are Arabs. Their language is Arabic. Their clothing is Arabic. Their food is Arabic. Their religion is Satan's religion of Islam. Most of them are from Jordan. Why does Israel even consider talking about the Jordanian refugee problem with anyone other than Jordan? That is the big duh question that never seems to be asked. Part of the answer is seen in the Prince of the Power of the Air, how the Antichrist Prince's mother wants to knight Sir Perez. What makes anyone, anywhere, think the Gaza disengagement was a good idea? What could make anyone think that expanding that proven bad idea 10 times bigger in Judea and Samaria will bring anything other than World War III? God said this specific madness regarding giving Judea and Samaria and part of Jerusalem to the enemies of the God of Israel would cause his fury to come up in his face. Read it, Ezekiel 38:18. With the overthrow of Mubarak in Egypt, the Iranian surrogate Hamas army in Gaza does not even have to use tunnels now to smuggle explosives and weapons, including longer-range, more deadly missiles. This fact was proven again this second week of March of 2011 with the weapons found on the merchant ship headed for Alexandria, Egypt. According to Lindsay Williams in his March 2011 report, the Antichrist global elitists, as well as Iran, are facilitating the Muslim Brotherhood destabilizations in Tunisia, Egypt, Bahrain, Yemen, Algeria, Saudi Arabia, and other Middle East states. This is certain to lead to the Gog-Magog War, World War III, the Battle of Armageddon. Brethren, this is all well orchestrated to lead to World War III. World War III will be blamed on the Jews in Israel. And if you're tempted to blame the problem on the Jews in Israel because you believe the lies of the prince of the power of the air, then you have become part of the problem and not part of the solution. The Lord Jesus Christ commands us to take heed that no man deceive you. World War III is at the door. The Antichrist, Luciferian Illuminati have planned it for many years. It will be blamed on the Jews. And anyone blaming the Jews is sick with the Antichrist lies and propaganda. The continuing pattern of premature condemnations repeated by the international media and many diplomats contributes to the quick spread of the lies. The retraction, which should follow the proven truth, is seldom, if ever, heard. Do not feel helpless, though. No, do not feel helpless. Do not let your heart be troubled. Do not feel that you have no power, for God is pouring out His Spirit upon His faithful. Think about this. Who really has authority in the midst of a demon-possessed world? Brethren, do not be tempted to go the way of rebellion. The way of believers is the way of faith, which is a fullness of determination to do what God said just because God said so. It is therefore easy to understand that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If you have not read the KJV Holy Bible the way God said, every word in context, in order, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, straight through from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, that needs to be your highest priority. And if it's been a while since you did that, I would encourage you to do that again, thanking God for the promise of James 1:5 every time you pick up the Bible to read, with the purpose of Proverbs 1:23. Little or no mention of the religious character of Japan is made as the news regarding the horrible disaster in Japan dominates all other news. And we do all grieve at the great suffering of the Japanese people, and pray that many will consider turning away from the many false gods of Japan and be open to hear the gospel. Japan is 51% Shinto. Shinto means the way of the gods, plural. Some of these Shinto gods or spirits are human-like, in others being animistic, and others being associated with more abstract natural things such as mountains, rivers, lightning, wind, waves, trees, and rocks. About 45% of Japan's population would claim to be Buddhist. Within both groups, the vast majority incorporate elements of Shinto with the Buddhists and Buddhism with the Shinto religions in a syncretism that is, in fact, simple selfism and paganism. One could say Japan is over 90% pagan and really has no regard for any one true God. In reality, only about 30% would say they have any religious affiliation. However, almost 95% would make the ritual stops and trips to the Shinto shrines or Buddhist temples for marriage and funerals and children's celebrations. And by far, the majority of Japanese do not believe in God or in Buddha, and as such are at enmity with the God of Israel. Bill Koenig supplied some recent actions of the government of Japan which manifested their anti-Israel bias. On July 10th of 2011, Japan officially condemned the demolishing of a part of the Shepherd's Hotel in East Jerusalem with a view to constructing new housing units for Jewish people, and further stated that Japan does not recognize any unilateral measures that prejudge the final resolution on pre-1967 borders, nor does Japan recognized the annexation of East Jerusalem by Israel. Japan urges Israel to refrain from any unilateral act that could change the existing conditions of East Jerusalem. And then, on February 10th of 2011, Japan again officially reproved Israel by saying Japan does not recognize any act that prejudges the final status of the territories in pre-1967 borders, nor Israel's annexation of East Jerusalem, and the government of Japan is concerned about the Jerusalem Municipal Building Committee's approval of a plan to build housing units for Jewish people in East Jerusalem. Such act goes against the efforts by the international community to resume the negotiations. The government of Japan does not recognize any act that prejudges the final status of the territories in pre-1967 borders, nor Israel's annexation of East Jerusalem. Japan urges Israel to refrain from any unilateral act that changes the current situation in East Jerusalem. Then, on the day of the earthquake, yes, on the very day of the earthquake, then the government of Japan said they deplore the decisions of the government of Israel to give permission for the construction of 1,600 housing units in East Jerusalem in addition to 112 units in West Bank after the Israeli and Palestinian leadership acceptance of the start of indirect talks. The government of Japan does not recognize any act that prejudges the final status of Jerusalem and the territories in the pre-1967 border. Japan demands that the plans should not be implemented. The government of Japan continues to request strongly that both parties will act in a way that enhances mutual confidence. Japan sincerely hopes that the indirect talks in the peace process will swiftly develop into the resumption of direct talks between the two parties. That same day the earthquake hit Japan. Think about it. Yes, the same day that the government of Japan made that statement is the day that the earthquake hit Japan. Genesis 12:3. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. The history of all nations since God made that decree have verified its truth, with Japan being the most stunning recent example. When you understand the British mandate, you will not be deceived by Obama's deception regarding the Middle East. The understanding you can have in just 30 minutes will give you the ability to stand with the truth against the Antichrist and Muslim propaganda regarding why Israel must be destroyed. These fundamental truths expose the Muslim lies regarding Israel so profoundly that most Muslims are left dumbfounded. The truths on this link nukes 60 years of Muslim lies and propaganda. You can find it on the Great Joy and Great Tribulation website, www.moreshoreword.com/BCBWARS.com. Almost every Arab or Muslim you encounter has been taught the Muslim big lie that Israel's existence is solely based upon European guilt over the Holocaust, while the same teachers amazingly deny the reality of the Holocaust. Do not try to spend too much time figuring out how that could ever be true or logical. The answer is Islam. The facts totally expose the Muslim lies about Israel and the Middle East conflict. Without such understanding of the truth, the Muslims will go on trying to convince the world that the Jews have no legal, historic, or moral right to what Muslims see as Islamic land. The continued path of operation, whether it is called the Saudi plan, the roadmap, or Oslo, or two states for two peoples, is Antichrist Luciferian plans, and they are designed to most certainly lead to World War III. Like everything else, it will be blamed on the Jews because of the willing ignorance of the truth. It is truly sad how Obama legitimized the Muslim view that Israel owes its existence to the Holocaust when he said, quote, the aspiration for a Jewish homeland is rooted in a tragic history that cannot be denied, and then went on to talk about the Holocaust. It was also outrageous for Obama to compare Israel to U.S. Southern slave owners before the Emancipation Proclamation and compare the Palestinians to black slaves in the South. Muslims also like to conveniently forget that those black people were enslaved by Muslims and sold to the Southern plantation owners by Muslims. Obama also used the Arab term resistance, just as the Muslims do, rather than call it what it truly is, Muslim-Palestinian terrorism. Can anyone not know, presidents in particular, that all so-called Palestinian political groups are Muslim terrorist organizations? In addition to his morally outrageous characterization of Israel and factually inaccurate account of its foundations, Obama struck out at the Jewish state through the two policies he outlined in his address. His first policy is pressuring Israel into barring all Jewish construction in Judea and Samaria, otherwise known as the West Bank, and in Jerusalem. Another MP3 file that you could burn to a CD or put on an MP3 player that would be good to have is located at http://gjigt-radio.com/podcast/audio/islam-israel-ww3.mp3. These three world war planned disasters are the last terrible birth pangs to produce full out-of-the-closet Antichrist control. They will be terrible and unprecedented until the Lord Jesus Christ returns to finally put the Antichrist and his false prophet Pope in the lake of fire. Revelation 19:20-21. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceedeth out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. The United States State Department has long kept a list of states that sponsor terrorism. Topping this list are Iran and Syria. America has invaded Afghanistan and Iraq. It's interesting to note that the United States in July, yes, I said July, in July of 2001, told several countries such as India that the United States would be invading Afghanistan in October. It's also interesting to note that in the first half of the year before 9/11, that the U.S. gave the Taliban $132 million just months before 9/11. The simple fact is that the United States, by way of the CIA, set up the Taliban, and Osama bin Laden was a CIA asset. Now Hussein Obama works closely with Syria, placing an ambassador there and even sharing intelligence information with Syria, while Syria remains a major sponsor of terrorism and represents the greatest existential threat to Israel. Hussein Obama has put a stop to much necessary equipment and spare parts sales to Israel, and this path leaves Israel no real choice but to fulfill Isaiah 17:1 or else be annihilated. The fingerprints of the Illuminati are all over the World Trade Center destruction. Several major newspapers had reported the facts that America has supported both the Taliban and Osama bin Laden in the past. The Luciferian controllers created the very paper tiger against whom the U.S. has been to war and literally is destroying itself as the Bush-Clinton-Bush-Obama nation fanned the flames of Islamic terrorism for the past 10 years. The Luciferian controllers, many decades ago, determined that the Muslims of the world represented a stumbling block against their Antichrist New World Order. However, the primary target of destruction is the same as in Lucifer's largest religion, people of the book, meaning Jews and real Christians. The Third World War would therefore pit Muslims against Zionists. The Luciferians even planned to have World War III blamed on the Jews, and Hussein Obama has set that up. Muslims are so strongly monotheistic that they will never be able to accept the polytheistic claims and religion of Antichrist. However, make no mistake about the main target for extermination being the few real, true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and the Jews whom the Lord will yet save by himself in one day soon, perhaps in a matter of months now. That really is one of the few good things we can look forward to in this Antichrist war on the saints. Yet, as Lucifer always does, when he is finished using anyone, will then eradicate the Muslims completely. What better way to annihilate the Muslims than to encourage them in their hatred against the West, give them the arms with which to attack, and then provide the opportunity to do so? Once the attack is made, Americans specifically and Westerners generally will be so outraged against the Muslims that they will support the entire annihilation of the nations and of cultures. While the smoke was still at the Murrah Building in Oklahoma City, Clinton had hundreds of pages of so-called anti-terrorism legislation to take away America's freedoms ready to deliver to Congress. With the smoke still coming from the World Trade Center, Bush, too, had 10,000 pages of anti-terrorism legislation to end any freedom in America, complete with national IDs, the mark of the beast, martial law, suspension of the Constitution and Bill of Rights, and even a new SS cabinet office, yes, just like Nazi SS called Homeland Security. It's also noteworthy regarding the Ten Kings, of whom we are told receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. The UN Security Council has been expanded from 5 permanent members to 10 in October of 2001. This coming Third World War will use unconventional weapons, weapons of mass destruction, the great sword of the Red Horse, which has power to take peace from the earth, according to Revelation 6:4. This soon coming Third World War will, of a certainty, include nuclear, chemical, and biological weapons, along with new toys like weather modification, earthquake generation, and particle beam weapons. America has theater-level particle beam weapons that can annihilate any living mammal within its radius. It may even now have such weapons in the hands of individual elite troops. America also has neutron bombs, which will kill by bombarding the body with high concentrations of neutrons, but will leave buildings and infrastructure unharmed. Real Christians and Jews have a blessed hope, which pre-trib la-la-landers have lost to their favorite local liar for hire because they choose to believe such lies. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 through 12 is something that states it so clearly for those who will have ears to hear. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Jesus said that if it were possible, the very elect would be deceived. How could that be possible? The KJV Holy Bible is the only Holy Bible that God promised perfect Bible, the strategic center of Christian or Messianic faith and doctrine. The elect, while they have the KJV available to them, are so easily deceived that the KJV may not even be the Bible that they occasionally read. Even the very elect may not understand their choice to be deceived by not reading the KJV Holy Bible the way God said to read it. How many Christians do you know who know that the KJV Holy Bible is the only Holy Bible in English? Today, they are in a minority. Jesus said there would be few who would be saved by enduring to the end, when he would send his angels for his elect immediately after the tribulation. How many Christians or Messianic believers do you know who have read every word in order, precept upon precept, line upon line, Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21 of the KJV Holy Bible? Have you read the KJV that way? How long has it been since you did? People who have not read the KJV Holy Bible in that way will be deceived. Do not stay among the masses of the deceived and strongly deluded. Start reading that KJV today and every day, the way God said, to get your faith to grow from faith to faith. Stay among the undeceived and know the Word of God and stay in the Word. In the miraculous victory in the Six-Day War of 1967, Israel had every right to annex Gaza, the West Bank, and the Sinai. Never in history has it ever been otherwise. And this is how Syria and Lebanon and Iraq and Jordan had come into existence when the British and French formed those states from their victory over the Ottoman Turks in World War I. But Israel, for some strange reason, did not annex those territories. On the other hand, neither did it withdraw its armies or relinquish its control. Why? Why? The reason was that the Arab aggressors once again refused to make peace with Israel. Instead, they declared themselves still at war with Israel, which is a threat that no Israeli government can ignore. In terms of land, Israel has 1/6 of 1%. 1/6 of 1%. That means the Arabs have 600 times more land mass than Israel. Of that land that the British and French took from the Ottoman Turks to give to the Arabs, parts of Israel were less than 10 miles across. No responsible Israeli government could relinquish a territorial buffer when its hostile neighbors were still formally at war with them. And this is the reality that frames the Middle East conflict. In 1973, 6 years after the Second Arab War against the Jews, the Arab armies again attacked Israel. The attack was led by Syria and Egypt and aided by Iraq, Libya, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, and 5 other countries who gave military support to the aggressors. Iraq sent an Iraqi division of 18,000 men into the Yom Kippur War. Israel again defeated the Arab forces. After that defeat, Egypt, and only Egypt, agreed to make a formal peace. The peace was signed by Egyptian President Anwar Sadat, who subsequently was assassinated by the Muslim Brotherhood, now seeking power with the overthrow of Mubarak in Egypt, as well as Libya, Yemen, Tunisia, and now threatening Jordan and Saudi Arabia. Sadat is one of 3 Arab leaders assassinated by other Arabs for making peace with the Jews. The Camp David Accords that Sadat signed saw Israel return the entire Sinai with all its oil riches. This act of returning the Sinai to Egypt demonstrated once and for all that the solution to the Middle East conflict only requires the willingness of the Arabs to agree to end their state of war. These present Muslim uprisings can lead to nothing other than the Great Tribulation War. Peace with Israel is against the satanic moon god jihad religion of war that is what Islam is. Islam is the religion of war. It is Satan's moon god religion. Generally, it is Jew hate that allows the corrupt Islamic regimes to maintain control of their populations. Satan's largest religion glorifies lying in contracts and requires the killing or enslavement of all non-Muslims, both Jews and Christians. People of the book, as their Quran calls us, are priority target number one to be killed for the moon god of Islam. The Middle East conflict is not about Israel's occupation of the mountains of Israel. The Middle East conflict is about the moon god religious refusal of Arabs to make peace with Israel. It is the religious duty of everyone submitted to the moon god religion to kill and destroy Israel and its Jews, and also to destroy America, Europe, and their Christians, not to mention the Buddhists and the Hindus of the Far East. The Palestinians and their supporters also claim that the Middle East conflict is about the Palestinians' desire for a state and the refusal of Israel to accept their aspiration. This claim is also false. The Gaza-Hamasistan experiment proved that in spades. The rockets that are fired nonstop out of Gaza-Hamasistan on the civilian population of Israel make that abundantly clear. However, beyond that, look at the facts of recent history. The Palestinian Liberation Organization was created in 1964, 16 years after the establishment of Israel. The PLO was created 16 years after the first Arab war to annihilate Israel. The PLO was created at a time the West Bank was not under Israeli control. The PLO was created when the mountains of Israel were part of Jordan. The PLO obviously was not created so that the Palestinians could achieve self-determination in Jordan. At the time the PLO was created, Jordan made up 90% of the original Palestine Mandate. The PLO's express purpose, in the words of its own leaders, was to push the Jews into the sea. The purpose of the PLO, or the Muslim Brotherhood, has not changed. Any agreement Israel makes with Muslims can be nothing other than a hudna. Hudna is a term non-Muslims need to understand. Hudna is a temporary ceasefire not meant to be kept longer than necessary to gain reinforcements to defeat the enemy. Every Arab bound in Islam knows there is no obligation. Muslims know they are not bound to keep any agreement with Israel, but are only bound to make agreements to facilitate the destruction of Israel. Muslim agreements with any non-Muslim, especially with Israel, are known to be a hudna, a deception never intended to be honored, a setup for destroying Muslim enemies. And all non-Muslims are Muslim enemies. Jews first, Christians second, and then on down the road, and if there's no non-Muslims to destroy, then the Muslims will destroy each other. That is what the God of Islam requires, who comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, who is the father of lies. Islam's prophet Muhammad established this historical precedent. It is the history of Islam to agree to peace with its enemies in order to gain time to mass forces with which they intend to destroy them. It is no wonder why the one true God said in Exodus 23:32, "Thou shalt make no covenant with them nor with their gods," and in Deuteronomy 7:2, "And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them." The Middle East struggle is about 63 years of effort by Arabs to destroy the Jewish state. It's about the refusal of Arab states in general, and Palestinian Arabs in particular, to accept Israel's existence. If the Arabs were willing to do this, there would be no occupied territories. There would be a Palestinian state. In fact, there always has been a Palestinian state called Jordan. It is time to stop the insanity of the Bush-Clinton-Bush, Hussein Obama crowned syndicate of sudden destruction. It is time for Israel to clearly state that only Jordan will be recognized as the legitimate representatives of the Palestinian Arabs. The noncompliance of the Palestinian Authority to their agreements, breaking every single agreement and promise they made, has made it abundantly clear that the PLO's goal was and remains the destruction of Israel. The Palestinian self-determination is clearly a satanic determination to destroy Israel. This is again made clear in their newly created demand for a right of return to Israel of 5 million Arabs. Remember, there were 472,000 who left in 1948, and now the PLO demands the right of return of 5 million? The PLO demands 5 million Arabs and no Israel, no Jews, and no Christians, and no America or Europe unless it will submit to the satanic bondage of the moon god religion of Islam. The figure of 5 million refugees who must be returned to Israel is more than 10 times the number of Arabs who actually left the tiny new Jewish state of the British Mandate in 1948. This absurd new right of return of 5 million demand reveals the Palestinians' genocidal agenda for the Jews. The so-called right of return is itself a calculated mockery of the primary reason for Israel's existence. One of the sad facts of modern history is the fact that no country would provide a refuge for Jews fleeing Hitler's extermination program during World War II. It is only because the world turned its back on the Jews when their survival was at stake that the State of Israel grants a right of return to every Jew who asks for it. There is no genocidal threat to Arabs. There is no lack of international support, military and economically, to the Arabs. There is no Palestinian diaspora. It is simply the moon god duplicity that has cynically appropriated the very term to describe their self-inflicted predicament. The fact that many Arabs, including the Palestinian spiritual leader, the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem, supported Hitler's final solution only serves to compound the insult. It is even further compounded by the fact that more than 90% of the Palestinians now in the West Bank and Gaza Hamasistan have never lived a day of their lives in territorial Israel. The claim of so-called Arab right of return is just an inflammatory expression of contempt for the Jews and their historic suffering. It is just a blatant expression of contempt for the very idea of a Jewish state. The incorporation of 5 million Arabs into Israel would render the Jews a permanent minority in their own country and would thus spell the end of Israel. The Arabs fully understand this, and this is why they have made it a fundamental demand. It's just one more instance of the general bad faith and duplicity the Arab side has manifested through every chapter of these tragic events. It also makes clear why God said, "Make no covenant with them," in Exodus 23:32 and Deuteronomy 7:2. What is really sad proof of the Arabs' duplicity is their deplorable treatment of the Palestinian refugees. How can the Arab Islamic states, for over 60 years, refuse to relocate them or to alleviate their condition? They much rather prefer their Palestinian Arab brethren to be political pawns of political Islam. And that is disgusting, and proof again that Satan is the moon god of Islam. Israel has continued to make the desert bloom. Israel, while successfully relocating 600,000 Jewish refugees from Arab states, built a thriving industrial society. There is a light of freedom that Israel gives in the Islamic world of otherwise dark satanic bondage in the rest of the Middle East. At the same time, Israel was making the desert bloom and assimilated 600,000 Jewish refugees who were forced out of the Arab countries. The Arabs were busy making sure their Arab refugees remained in squalid refugee camps in the West Bank and Gaza. Yes, their own Arab brethren are most primarily responsible. The Arabs, their Arab brethren, are most primarily responsible for keeping the Palestinian Arabs powerless, without any rights, economically destitute, and educating a culture of death and hopelessness, which is Islam's crown of disgrace. After over 60 years from the first Arab war against Israel, there are 59 such refugee camps and 3.7 million refugees registered with the UN, despite economic aid from the UN and Israel. 60 years as refugees in spite of the oil wealth of the Arab Islamic oil dictatorships. Still, after watching their Palestinian Islamic brothers suffer as their political pawns, still they keep them locked in this state. No, it's not Israel that keeps the Palestinians in a refugee state of hopelessness. The true cause is their Islamic Arab brethren who have continued to use them as political pawns for over 60 years. The Arab leaders have refused to do what the most basic of human decency would have done for their own brethren who have the same language, the same culture, and the same religion for over 60 years. Islam is positively satanic, and the 60 years of Palestinian refugee camps prove that reality. How is it possible that all of the Islamic oil wealth could not make any relief of the refugees for their miserable camps? How come all that Islamic oil money could not make the economic investment that would alleviate their condition? How come the Palestinian Arabs are not allowed to immigrate to the neighboring Arab states? There are now 22 Arab states which could provide homes for these people with the same Arabic language, the same culture, and the same religion. Of those 22 Arab Islamic nations, only Jordan will allow Palestinian Arabs to become citizens. The other 21 Arab states insist they stay refugees to be used as political pawns in the satanic religious war against Jews and Christians. The refusal to address the condition of the Palestinian refugee population is, and always has been, an insidious, calculated Islamic Arab policy. The Islamic states have used the Palestinian refugees, keeping them in a state of desperation in order to incite their hatred of Israel for the wars to come. The mosques and schools of the Arabs generally, and the Palestinians in particular, preach and teach Jew hatred every day. Elementary school children in the Palestinian Arab schools are even taught to chant death to Jews, death to the monkeys and pigs in their classrooms. Their textbooks are filled with incitement to hate the monkeys and pigs. That means people of the book, Jews and Christians. It should be understood that the policies of deprivation of the Palestinian refugees by their Islamic neighbors and teaching of hatred for Jews and Christians is done without any allowable protest from any part of the Palestinian or Arab society. Those who would say something against those two policies would have been quickly murdered. That fact should speak volumes about the nature of the Middle East conflict. All wars, especially wars that have gone on for over 60 years, produce victims with just grievances on both sides. There are plenty of individual Palestinian victims. There certainly are thousands of Jewish victims as well. However, the overall Palestinian grievance is self-inflicted. It is the designed result of Islamic Arab policy to use the desperation of the Palestinian refugees and using deceit to teach hatred and misdirected vengeance. It is a result of planned, preached, and educated bigotry and exploitation of their own people. It is the religion of Islam to hate and show no mercy or generosity to subhuman non-Muslims. Israel is an open, quasi-democratic, multi-ethnic, multicultural society. Israel includes a large Arab minority, which are given full Israeli citizen rights. The Palestinian Authority, whether it is the so-called good Fatah terrorists or the bad Hamas terrorists, is an intolerant terrorist police state. The Palestinian Authority can have only one dictatorial leader whose main goal is keeping from being killed by those who seek the dictator's position, as he steals as much as possible from the funds donated to help the Palestinian refugees. That really is how it has been with the Palestinian leadership through the whole history of the modern state of Israel. The criminal methods and dishonest goals of the Palestinian Liberation Movement, the PLO, Fatah, or so-called good terrorists, should be clearly seen by anyone who would know and regard the truth. The Palestinian Authority is a criminal terrorist regime foundationally based upon an irrational satanic hatred of Jews. Christians who would hold up the truth regarding the Palestinian Authority terrorist organization are equally, though perhaps less vocally, hated, unless one would review how widely the Palestinians celebrated the 3,000 people killed in America on 9/11. The Palestinian Authority, consistent with the religion of Islam, has abundantly demonstrated religious hatred and resentment of the modern democratic West. There was no Palestinian nation before the creation of Israel. Palestinians regarded themselves simply as Arabs and their land as part of Jordan. Many of the creators and early big names of the PLO did not even live in the Palestine Mandate before the creation of the modern state of Israel. Yasser Arafat, as well as Edward Said, who used to be the leading intellectual American mouthpiece for the PLO, both were born and raised in Cairo, Egypt. The Arab states always claimed to be outraged by the treatment of Palestinians by the Jews. However, these same regimes treat their own Arab populations far worse than the Arabs are treated in Israel. The Arab citizens of Israel do not want to be put under the Palestinian Authority. These same repressive Islamic states say nothing about the disenfranchised Palestinian majority that lives in Jordan. In 1970, Jordan's King Hussein offered Yasser Arafat the office of Prime Minister of Jordan. Yasser Arafat rejected that offer, choosing the more lucrative course of terrorism as the father of airline hijacking. King Hussein had to drive Arafat and his PLO out of Jordan. Hatred for the Jews and Christians, people of the book, is the hallmark of Islam and its terrorist organizations. Today, over 80% of the Arabs in the West Bank and Gaza approve the suicide bombing of women and children because their targets are Jews. There is no Arab Peace Now movement. Israel has a large Peace Now movement. People in Israel demanding concessions to Arabs in the name of peace is a major political group in Israel. Tell me if you can name two or three Muslim Arabs who ever are heard to speak out regarding the rights and sufferings of the Jews. That would be against their religion. However, there are hundreds of thousands of Jews in Israel and all over the world who will speak out for Palestinian rights and to alleviate the sufferings of the Palestinians. In reality, the Jews and biblical Christians cannot expect fair treatment from Islamic people who do not even recognize their humanity. The Oslo peace process was based on the pledge of both parties to renounce violence as a means of settling their dispute. But the Palestinians never renounced violence, and in the year 2000, they officially launched a new intifada against Israel that effectively stopped the so-called peace process. During the so-called peace process, in the 6 years between 1993 and 1999, there were over 4,000 terrorist incidents committed by Palestinians against Israelis. In those 6 years, more than 1,000 Israelis were killed as a result of Palestinian attacks. There were more deaths during the 6 years of the so-called peace process than in the previous 25 years. During those 6 years, the Israelis, in the face of all the Palestinian murders, gave the Palestinians in the West Bank and Gaza a self-governing authority, a 50,000-man armed so-called police force, and 95% of the territory the PA had demanded. This generosity on Israel's part of the so-called peace process received a total rejection of peace, continued suicide bombings, rockets, mortar attacks upon Israeli civilians, and the declared Intifada War of 2000. The one thing the terrorists do not want is peace with Israel. Arafat proved that by rejecting the offer of Ehud Barak, which had essentially contained everything on Arafat's dream sheet, which Arafat answered with the 2000 Intifada War. The moral differences between Israel and Palestinians are stunning polar opposites. Some have said that Israel kept all of their promises to the Palestinians and the Palestinians kept none of them. Young Arabs are trained to blow themselves up as suicide bombers in shopping malls and crowded buses. The Palestinians blow themselves up along with innocent civilian men, women, and children. The Palestinian Authority treats such young suicidal mass murderers as heroes. The family of the suicidal mass murderers is given money by the Palestinian Authority. The neighbors of the suicidal mass murderer rally to honor such mass murderers as a martyr for Allah. That should tell everyone that Allah, the moon god of Islam, is Lucifer, Satan, the devil. The methods of the Palestinian Authority are the same for both the so-called good Fatah terrorists and the bad Hamas terrorists. The so-called entire Palestinian Authority is corrupt in every way. It is so void of anything considered to be moral that only corrupt people would think of dealing or trying to make agreements with such corruptions. The Palestinian refugee problem is a problem that has demonstrated with continual violence and corruption taught by the satanic religion of Islam. The answer is to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in the one true God. The light and truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is the only answer for such satanic violence and corruption. Islam teaches that all non-Muslims are subhuman. I'm going to say it again because it truly does teach that. Islam teaches that all non-Muslims are subhuman. Most Muslims have not read their own so-called holy book. I've read that satanic book. The reason the international community favors Islam is because this is the Antichrist war on the saints. It needs to be said with all holy boldness that the Palestinians enjoy international credibility because they want more than life itself to destroy the state that the Jews have created. Jew hate is the irrational constant of history. After almost 60 years, all the Jews and Gentiles who thought the Jewish state could solve the Jewish problem have been proven wrong. Only the Messiah can solve the Jewish problem. He most certainly will, and it is soon now for sure. The Jews are still the most hated ethnic group in the world. Islamic radicals want to destroy Israel and kill every Jew and Christian. Islamic moderates want to kill all the Jews and Christians too. But they're called moderate because they do not talk about it in public. This history is why I am a fierce supporter of Israel's survival and have no sympathy for the Palestinian side in the conflict in the Middle East. I will not have such sympathy until the day comes when I can look into the Palestinians' eyes and see something other than death desired for Jews and Christians, people of the book. I pray daily to have the grace to hug the Muslim's neck as he does his religious duty to cut mine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. The gospel is the only answer and only hope for over a billion people bound in Satan's largest religion. Listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moreshoreword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moreshoreword.com. That's www.moreshoreword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus.